Okay, Zot the Gemara daf lamed he amad beis. Remember, we saw that the Gemara initially asked a stira. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the grain as degoni, v'lokachti degoni. On the other, he refers to it as degoncho, yours. So whose is it? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu or is it ours? And the Gemara says, lo kasha. It depends. If Klal Yisrael are doing the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it becomes osafta degonecho, it's yours. In other words, it belongs to Klal Yisrael, as it were. If they're not doing the rotzen shel mokrin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to it as degoni, as his grain. It doesn't belong to us. That was part one of the Gemara. What was problematic, and this we therefore need to see a tosis over here, is that the Gemara afterwards seems to have understood v'osafta degonecho in the opposite way. Because remember, the Gemara had this famous machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel says that if it says v'asafta degonecho, means you have to work. You can't just learn Torah all day. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, chas v'shalom. If you work, what's going to be with Torah? It does say v'asafta degonecho, you work. No, that's talking about when ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim. If ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, then v'asafta degonecho. But if you're doing the rotzen shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then to the contrary, you don't need to work. And not only that, in fact, other people will do your work for you. That's what the Gemara says. So now Tosis is extremely bothered because part one of the Gemara is an absolute contradiction to part two. Part one says, V'osafta degonecho, it's your dogon. So clearly we're talking about when? Oisin ritzeinu shel mokim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai seems to have said the exact opposite. V'osafta degonecho is talking about when ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, and that's why you're busy working as opposed to learning. So what is it? Is v'osafta degonecho when they are doing the rotzen shel mokim, or when they're not doing the rotzen shel mokim? That was the stira in the Gemara. If you remember, we also said, and this we learned in Marasha, that in fact, even without the stira, in the parasha of Shema itself, it l'chayra disproves this entire theory. How can you possibly say, how can Rav Shimon ben Yochai say that v'asafta degonecho is talking about when ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, and that's why you're not learning, in fact you're working? How can that be? That pasuk is written in Kriya Shema, and the very parasha begins with the words v'hoya im shemoya tishmu. It says, and if you will listen. So obviously it's talking about when they are listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we saw the Marshal's Kasha. So how can you possibly suggest that v'asafta degonecho, in the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, is referring to as man when ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, when the parash is clearly introduced with the words v'hoyim shemoya, la'avos Hashem alekeichem, etc., etc., etc. Now, we saw the Marshal's Teretz, and the truth of the matter is, the Marshal's Teretz is, to a degree, based on the Tosfos that we're about to learn now. So let's just mention the Marashah's Yisoid. We're going to then learn the Tosfos, and then we'll come back to the Marashah. The Marashah's Teretz was essentially, you're right. Of course it says, V'hoyom Shemoya Tishma, and that can't be denied. So clearly we're definitely talking about Oisin Ritzeinu Shel Mokim. When Rav Shimon ben Yochai says this parasha is referring to Ein oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, what he means is, although Klal Yisrael are tzadikim, but they're not tzadikim gemurim. So it's not quite top-notch. How is that implicit in the parasha? Says the Marasha, it's very implicit. Because it says, La'avos Hashem aleikeichem b'chol, levavchem v'chol nafshachem, period. What's glaring by its absence? Like it says in the first parasha. So even though it's true, they are being oisin ritzeinu shel mokim, but not to the extent that they should. Because if they were really being oisin ritzeinu shel mokim to the extent they should, then it would be b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshachem, and also b'chol moyadechem. So therefore, if we ask the question, is it oisin ritzeinu or is it ein oisin ritzeinu, the answer is it's sort of somewhere in between. They are being oisei ritzeinoi, and that's why you can call them v'hoyom shemoya, but not quite to the maximum, and that's why, says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, we can to an extent refer to them as Einos in Ritzayin Ishamokim, and that's why they can't learn Torah. And they have to work. And if you remember, the Marshal added one little twist at the end, because their Avas Hashem is limited, which piece of their Avas Hashem is missing? The money aspect. That's why the punishment, Midah Keneged Midah, is in the area of money. Rather than being allowed to learn all day, as Rav Shimon ben Yochai says is the ideal, no, Vosafta Degonecha, you're going to have to work and earn your own money, because you don't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your money. What does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your money? As we mentioned last time, it means that you're prepared to give up your money for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you're not prepared to give up your money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does that mean? That you clearly value your money and overvalue your money. Money is very, very important to you. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine. So if it's so important, go out and earn it. That basically, in a nutshell, was the Marashah that we saw on Thursday. As we're going to see in a moment, it's based really on the aside of the Tosis we're about to learn. No, early Achron. Early Achron. Now,
the Rosh is Rishon,
yeah. Now, let's have a look in the second Tosis. So we must remember there are two different questions that we're dealing with. Question number one, this is what Tosas is discussing, that we have a contradiction between part A and part B of the Gemara. Va'asafta de gonecho, you tell me, is because you're doing Oisin Ritzayin Shel Mokim. And then Rav Shimon Yochai says, no, they ain't Oisin Ritzayin Shel Mokim, and that's why they're not learning all day, they're working. That is a contradiction. That's question number one. Question number two is, as we just mentioned, forget the contradiction. Minei ubei. In that very parasha, it says V'hoyim Shemaya. But Tosis is not dealing with question number two. He's dealing with question number one. Let's have a look at Tosis. Kan bizman sheYisrael oisin rotzayin yishol mokim shenemar v'asafto degonech avim toima v'holakamon. Surely later on, in the continuation of the sugya, bizman sheein oisin Yisrael oisin rotzayin yishol mokim mukminon lei. We established this pasuk to be talking about where and what type of period. In this piece of Gemara, it's an Oisin Ritzayinai, and in the Gemara later on, it's clearly referring to Ein Oisin Yisrael, Ein Oisin Ritzayinai Shemokim. Again, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, what is the ideal status of the world? What is the person supposed to be doing all day? Supposed to be learning Torah. If it says Vasafta de Gonecho, it means you're not really turning the line properly, and that's why you're out in the field. Ah, so it's talking about Ein Oisin Ritzayinai. And yet the Gemara in the first part says it's talking about Oisin Ritzayinai, and that's what we're calling it, your grain. It's your grain, it's not de Goni, it's de Gonchel. So can we please make up our mind? Is this parasha talking about Oisin Ritzayinai or Ein Oisin Ritzayinai? That is the question. V'yesh loyma demayri vaday she'oisin ritzayinu. We're definitely discussing oisin ritzayinu, you're quite right. And that's why we call the dogon de goncho. So what did the Gemara mean when it says later on that it's ein oisin ritzayinu shomokim? The answer is, says Tosfos, Avol ein oisin ritzoinoi kol kach de'enom tzadikim gemurim. Now what does that remind us of? The Marsha. In other words, what does Tosfos say? Yes, they're definitely being oisin ritzoinoi shel mokim. And that's why in sugya number one, we refer to it as the goncho. It's your dogon because you're doing the right thing. But they're not doing the rotzin shol mokim, as Tosfos puts it, kol kach. What does that mean, kol kach? They're not tzadikim gemurim. If they're not tzadikim gemurim, so we can understand Rav Shimon ben Yochai as referring to this posuk as ein oisin ritzayinu shol mokim, and that's why they're in the field working. So now we see and appreciate more what the Marsha meant. Because Tosfos has given us, as it were, the outline. But he hasn't really defined it. If not for the Marashah, I think we'd have a little bit of a tough time understanding what does Tosfos mean. They're doing the Ratzon, but they're not Tzadikim Gemurim. What does that mean? How does that manifest itself? According to the Marsha, we have an extremely accurate definition now. They're doing Ratzonei Shel Mokim, because their Avas Hashem is B'chol Levavchem U'B'chol Nafshechem, but they're not Tzadikim Gemurim, because what's missing? B'chol Moyadechem. So you only have two out of three. Therefore, it's extremely defined. It's very clear. So the Marsha, therefore, is a beautiful addition, or in fact, explanation of Tosfos. The only difference is that the Marsha has taken the Yesod of Tosfos one stage further. Remember, Tosfos was not dealing with the Marsha's kasha. What was the Marsha's kasha? What was bothering the Marsha? Because it says V'hayayim Shemaya. The Marsha's question was not the contradiction of the two Gemaras. The Marsha's question was inherently in the very parasha. How on earth can you suggest that it's talking about when they are not doing the Ratzon Shel Mokim, if the opening psukim of V'hayayim Shemaya? He's using Tosfos' Yesod, albeit Tosfos is addressing a different question completely, but he's using Tosfos' Yesod to tell me that what? That I see from Tosfos that we're talking in the second parasha, that they're not quite doing Ritzonei Shel Mokim Kol Kach, i.e. they're not Tzadikim Gemurim. Tosfos used that principle to answer a different question, but I'm going to use Tosfos' principle to answer my question as well. If it says V'hoyoim Shemoya, how can you say it's Ein Oisin Ritzonei? The answer is, there is V'hoyoim Shemoya, there is Avos Hashem, but they're not Tzadikim Gemurim Kol Kach. So the Marsha is complementing Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Va'oid yesh leima.
I was just a question. When you, because I was looking at Shema, when you good. Read it, you can kind of think that Hashem is setting the barometer, meaning Vayim Shemoa. You only have to do these two things.
No.
Because it's kind of saying, but if you listen and do these.
Yeah. No, what it means is, it's a good question you're asking, if there's actually a stage which is missed out. Meaning, in the first parasha, the Torah says, what is the extent to which your Avos Hashem has to reach? Levovcha, nafshecha, moedecha. You have to have three stages of Avos Hashem. Now, says parasha number two, if you have two stages of Avos Hashem, levovchem and nafshechem, which, as Tosfos and the Marsha are explaining to us, is not the top level. You're not Tzadikim Gemurim, because you're missing Moyadechem. So Torah says, if you have two out of three, then what will happen? You'll get the following.
Still give you a bracha.
You get a bracha, you get the scha. Which means, the Torah is not telling you that that's the ideal. There's a stage which is missed out, and you can still ask. What is that stage? We're not told what happens to Tzadikim Gemurim. Again, in parasha number one, it says you have to have three stages of Avos Hashem. Says the Torah, if you have two, you get the following schar. Okay. And what happens if I have all three? We're not told. So clearly, they would, I assume, at least get the minimum of all the schar that we described in parasha Shema, presumably with some extra as well. Just for the record. And it's more than just a record. We mentioned this on Thursday night, Parashasha. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the Parashasha this week. The Rambam is very bothered, as are others as well, because we do have a famous principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reward in this world. Schar Bahai Alma Leka. There is no reward in this world. The reason why there's no reward in this world is really our share on Thursday night, because this world is just temporary. We're just visitors over here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps our reward, as it were, for the proper place, upstairs, in Shomayim. The all-important question is that how on earth did you therefore read the Parashah of Shema? How did you read the Parashah of Shema? The Parashah of Shema clearly seems to indicate that you do get schar in this world. It says, if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll have motor, Arzachem, you'll have Yevula, you'll have Geshem, you'll have everything. So how on earth does that fit in with the principle of Schara b'hayal meleka? Doesn't seem really to fit in. So the Rambam answers, very, very important yesod, we need to know this, that everything described in the parasha of Shema is not schar. It's not reward. Reward will be awaiting you in Olam Habo, l'acha me'eva esrim shana. Whatever is described in Shema is not the reward. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I see how important keeping Torah and mitzvahs is for you. And clearly, if this is the way you've been conducting your life until this point, presumably that's the way you'd like to continue as well. But you're not going to be able to continue if you're preoccupied with working the land and you don't have parnasa. So I'm going to give you parnasa and rain and produce in the field, not as reward, but merely to facilitate your further fulfillment of Torah or mitzvahs. It's not as reward. Your reward will be in Olam Habo. But again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I see how important this is to you. I'm going to help you along, not as a reward. The reward will be your chelik in Olam Habo, no question about it. But this is in order to make your life easier, that you should be less occupied or not occupied at all with Parnasa, such that you'll be able to concentrate fully on Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs. This is the approach of the Rambam, and in a number of places, and others as well. Very, very important you say it. Okay, let's continue the Tosfos and finish off the Tosfos, and then I'd like to maybe just add a line in this understanding of Oisin Ratzon Ish Amokim, and in fact, maybe we'll see if we can connect it to... No? In Yonah D'Yoma. What's in Yonah D'Yoma today? Pesach Sheni. But let's first finish Tosfos. V'oid Yesh Lema. Says Tosfos, we could alternatively give the following teretz. Remember, Tosfos is addressing the question. We have a stira between part A that says Vosafta deGonecho, it's your dogon talking about their oisin ratzainoi, as opposed to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who says the reason why you're busy working in the field in the first place is because you are ein oisin ratzainoi. Well, can you please make up your mind which one is it? Zok Tosfos V'oid Yesh Lema. The poliglei, indeed he argues, he disagrees. There's no point in trying to reconcile the two Gemaras, as Tosfos does do in the first Teretz. No, maybe indeed he disagrees. The poliglei ahod lekamon. Maybe he indeed disagrees with that which is mentioned later on. Shabal Farish Ma Bein Oisin Vein Oisin. Later on, the Gemara wants to explain the difference between Oisim and Ein Oisin. It says, therefore, if you're Oisin Ratzon Yishol Mokoyim, you're learning. If you're Ein Oisin Ratzon Yishol Mokoyim, you're working. That's Rav Shimon ben Yochai. V'hocha, however... Be'oisin ve'ein oisim ki hadodi ninhu. What does ki hadodi mean? They're together. They're both talking about oisin ratzon yishol mokoyim. What does that mean? So if you have a look, there's an aleph. Did you see the aleph there? So the aleph is referring to the Hagoas Habach. There should be somewhere on your page. Hagoas Habach. And the Bach has a little note here adding explanation to Tosfos. It says the Bach. Nun beis. Nechtav b'tzidi. B'shneyem ba'atzmon hein oisvin es hadogon. Elo. She'im ein oisin then lekeach hadogon mirushusam. If they don't do the rotzen shel Hashem, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu will take the dogon away from them. What does that mean? It means as follows. In sugya number 2, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, if you're towing the line, Oisin Ritzayin Yishal Mokim, then what happens?
Torah's day. You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. You will not be in the field. Where will you be? In the Beis HaMedrash. All day, 24-7. If you're Ein Oisin Ritzayin Yishal Mokim, you will not be in the Beis HaMedrash. Rather, you'll be gathering grain. So according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who gathers grain? Only people who are Ein Oisin Ritzayin Yishal Mokim. Says Tosis, the first sugya disagrees, as opposed to the first teretz that tried to reconcile them. Says Tosis in the second teretz, no, there's a machloikas. Do you know what the first sugya holds? Whether you are being oisei ritzoinoi or not oisei ritzoinoi, either way you'll be gathering your grain. He disagrees with Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The only question will be, fine, you'll be gathering the grain, but whose grain is it? Says the Gemara, that will depend on whether you're being Oisin Ritzoinoi or Oisin Ritzoinoi. Because if it is Ein Oisin Ritzoinoi, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, takes away the grain, doesn't belong to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's the Goni, belongs to Hashem. If you're Oisin Ritzoinoi, then what? Then it's the Gonecho. But the difference between Oisin and Ein Oisin is not whether you will be gathering the grain. That's Rav Shimon ben Yochai. That's a different Gemara, and there's a machlokas over here. Says Tosis, you will be gathering the grain either way, in the opinion of the first Gemara. The difference between oisin and ein oisin is what? Whose grain will it be? So let's have a look at Tosis again. Va'oidya shloima. Alternatively, says Tosis, you could answer. The polyglay, he in fact disagrees. Who does? This first Gemara disagrees. Ahad la kamon. Shebol of Farish, we're over there in the sugya number 2. He comes to explain. Ma bein oisin vein oisin. What's the difference between oisin and ein oisin? And he said the difference is whether you will or won't be gathering the grain. If you're oisin ritzoinoi, you'll be in the Beis HaMedrash. If you're not oisin ritzoinoi, you'll be in the field. V'hocha, however, but oisim vein oisim, whether you are or not doing the rotzen shel Hashem, ki hadodi ninhu. What does that mean, ki hadodi? They're both the same in which aspect? That you'll be gathering the grain. The question is, who's it belong to? And that's what the Bach says. Again, look again at the Bach once again. Bishneyem, in both of them, ba'atzmon heim oisvim es adogon, they themselves will be gathering the dogon, as opposed to the second Gemara that differentiates who's gathering the dogon. According to the first sugya, no, they're definitely going to be doing it themselves. That's not the difference. Rather, if they don't do the rotzen shel Hashem, lekeach hadogon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the grain, mei reshusam, from their reshus, and he therefore refers to it as his own and no longer ours. So, ad kan divrei Tosfos. So again, brief summary. Tosfos asks a contradiction between the two Gemaras. Gemara number 1 says that this pasuk is talking about oisin ritzoinoi, that's why it's called your dogon. Second sugya says it's talking about ein oisin, and that's why you're in the field. Contradiction. Tosfos' first teretz was, it's not a contradiction because it's the middle ground. Are you doing the rotzen? Are you not doing the rotzen? A bit of both. As the Marashah explained, you've got levavchem, you've got nafshachem, you haven't got moyadechem. You've got 2 out of 3. So there's no contradiction at all. Second teretz is, it is a contradiction and there's no point trying to reconcile it because it's machlokes. According to sugya number 1, either way you'll be in the field. Whatever happens, you'll be in the field. The question is only, whose dogon will you be gathering? If you do the rotzen Hashem, you'll be gathering your dogon. If you won't be doing the rotzen shel Hashem, then you'll be gathering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dogon. Whereas sugya number two says, no, 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 you might not necessarily be gathering the dagon at all. It depends whether oisin or ain oisin. That is the two halves of the sugya. According to teretz number one, there's no machlekas. According to teretz number two, there is a machlekas. Now, just a line or two about this concept of being oisei ritzoinei shel mokim. Oisei ritzoinei shel mokim. If we would literally translate oisim ritzoinei shel mokim, what would you say? They are doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bit of a strange phrase, because you'd normally expect to say they're doing the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're fulfilling the mitzvahs. Oisin Ritzayin Yishol Mokim means that what? They're doing the mitzvahs. So why is that called the Rotzen? Just say they're doing the mitzvahs, not the will of Hashem, doing the mitzvahs of Hashem. So it could be that, no. The Mesilas Yesharim, in his introduction, but then more later on in the Sefer, he has a whole parak on chassidus. Chassidus, piety. And if you look right in the beginning of the Sefer, basically he writes after the purpose of the Sefer, to help us, bring us to a level of chassidus. So he says, what is chassidus? What is chassidus? He says there is a terrible misunderstanding. He says, first I'll tell you what chassidus isn't, and then I'll tell you what it is. Some people think being a chassid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means afflicting yourself, rolling around in the snow, doing lots of tvilos in broken, frozen rivers, fasting. He says that's not chassidus. Now obviously he's clearly referring to some sort of syndrome or movement that was happening at the time, otherwise why is he writing it? Okay, so that's what chassidus isn't. What is chassidus? So he defines it, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, in a very simple manner. He says, basically, chassidus is when you go the extra mile. In other words, the moshel he gives is very simple. What would be the difference if a father asked his son to bring him a piece of cake, or a master asked his slave to bring him a piece of cake? The difference would be as follows. The master who asks the slave to bring a piece of cake, what does the slave think to himself? Listen, I don't want to get in trouble. I better do what he ever tells you, otherwise I'll be punished. He asks me for a piece of cake, here's a piece of cake, leave me alone. Oh, Baruch Hashem, that's it, I'm done. Baruch Shepotrani. What does the son think to himself? The son thinks to himself, well, clearly my father asked me for cake, but if he asked me for cake, maybe I'm going to bring him a drink as well. What do you mean? He never asked for it. It's true, he never asked for it, but maybe that's what he wants. Well, if he wants it, why didn't he ask for it? He asked for the minimum. In other words, the Eved does the mitzvah. The son does the rotzen. The Eved does the mitzvah. What did my master tell me to do? Bring a piece of cake. I brought a piece of cake. Leave me alone. He knows full well, the slave, that presumably the master would like a drink as well. Fine, you never asked me. I'm not mukhuyev to do it. What does the son say? I know I'm not mukhuyev to do it, but I'm going to go the extra mile. Why? Because my ahava towards my father is such that I'm not just looking to do the bare minimum. And with that, that's it. Opgepatet. What does opgepatet mean? Potter, done what I have to. No, I want to go the extra mile to try and work out what is it that my father wants, not only what he asked for. Says Mr. Yisushorim, that's chassidus. Chassidus is when I go the extra mile. I'm not just working out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm working out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Now, if you look in Parshas Balak. Look in Parshas Balak. If you read the psukim on a simple level, it sounds like Bilam is a big tzaddik. We call him Bilam Marasha. If you look in the psukim, I would refer to him as Bilam HaTzaddik. Why? They come to him and say, would you curse Klal Yisrael? And what does he say? Loi uchal la'avoir es pi Hashem. I can't possibly transgress the mouth of Hashem. I can't possibly transgress the mouth of Hashem. And before you know it, off he goes and he curses Klal Yisrael. What's going on? What did he say? What did he mean? So the way Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecheinu Levracha, Hashem Yimkoyim Domo, explains, he says, if you look in the Pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Bilam not to go. Never told him not to go. He just says, if you go, you're taking a big risk. Because I might put words in your mouth and therefore you're going to have to take the risk. But he never said, don't go. He says, Bilam, Loi uchal la'avoy, what can I not transgress? S.P. Hashem. But not the Rotzoin Hashem. If Bilam would only stop for a quarter of a second, what would he have said? It's true that Hashem never actually said the words clearly. That I shouldn't curse them. Come on, Bilam. What do you think is the Rotzoin Hashem? What, he wants you to go and curse out his nation? Yeah, but I can. I permit myself to do that. Why? Because he never said it clearly. Lo yuchal la'avor is pi Hashem. Lo yuchal la'avor is pi Hashem means I can't transgress the word, the mouth of Hashem. Whatever he told me, I won't go against. But whatever he wants doesn't interest me. Klal uklal. So therefore, he is indeed Bilam Arosha, not Bilam Atzadik. When the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, why? So it says that because Klal Yisrael did not conduct themselves lifnim mishuras hadin. What does that mean, lifnim mishuras hadin? Going above the letter of the law. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch will say, you're mechuyev to do as follows, but you go the extra mile. They didn't do that. The question, of course, being, what? So for that there was a churban habayis? It doesn't say they didn't do what they were supposed to be doing. They did. They didn't go the extra mile. But say, oh, so they weren't big chassidim. Not Roshoyim. What's the answer? The answer is because you don't go the extra mile, then that reflects a totally different relationship than you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's my master, but not my father. We say in davening, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avinu Malkeinu. He's our king, he's also our father. A king needs to be kept happy, finished, we do whatever the law requires. But our father, we're very interested in the Rotzim as well. If you don't go Lifnim Mishur HaSadin, then what are you really expressing? Can I just do the minimum? How can I shirk out of my responsibilities? The minimum, the basic, I'm only interested in Pi Hashem, not in the Rotzim Hashem. So therefore, when we learn in our Gemara that there's a difference between Oisin Ratzoinoi Shel Mokoim, it could be that we're dealing with an altogether different level. If you want to know, according to Rishon Ben Yochai, who is Zoicha to be in the Beis HaMedrash all day, and who has to be working in the field, it's the one who's Oisin Ratzoinoi Shel Mokoim, which means not that he's necessarily merely keeping the minimal duties and then leave me alone. He's going the extra mile and he's doing the Rotzoin Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an altogether different level. How does that relate to Pesach Sheni? Because Pesach Sheni is the exact opposite, it's just the other side of the coin. What was Pesach Sheni? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, listen, we have a terrible problem. We were Tomei, and we couldn't therefore sacrifice the Korban Pesach. And they say the famous two words, Loma Nigora. What does Loma Nigora mean? Why should we be worse off? And all of the Mefarshim jump up and down and say, what do you mean, why should you be worse off? You were Tomei, it's bad luck. Nobody's going to penalize you, and for sure you will not be punished because it wasn't your fault. And the Gemara says, it's Gemara we learned in Sukkah actually, that they were being Oisik b'mitzvah. They were actually with Matame for the Atzmai Shal Yosef. So what do you mean, Lomani Gora? Why should we be worse off? Don't worry, you had an exemption. Nobody's criticizing you. It's very unfortunate. You won't be in trouble. What's the answer? Because just like a chosid is looking to go the extra mile to do more than he is actually obligated, so too he's not looking for pturim. When the master tells the eved, bring me a piece of cake, an unfortunate, unforeseen circumstances occur, and guess what? There's a fire in the house and all the cake is burnt. What does the eved say to the master? Hey, what do you want? I understand. Thank you. Off hook. What does the son say? It's true I'm off the hook, but I want to keep the rots in Shalakadosh Baruch. I want to keep the rots in my father, so I'm jolly well going to go to the store and buy some more. He never asked me to do that. I'm an Einus, not a Chayiv too. Teretz says, Beseder, are you doing this out of love or out of duty? If you're doing it out of duty, then you do the bare minimum. And if you could do less than that, because there's an Einus, even better. So when they came to HaKadosh Baruch, when they say, Loma Nigora, what do they really mean? They didn't mean to say as if to say, it's unfair. And we're worried we're going to be punished. No, no, they knew full well they weren't going to be punished. But they said, we don't want to just be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be Bonim Atem Lashem. And the son is not looking for Pturim. The son is not looking for exemptions. He's looking to do more. He's not looking to do less. I always feel, and I was always scared to suggest it, until a friend of mine told me that the Gerer Rebbe writes this. I'm not sure if it's the Chiddush HaRim or the Sfas Emes. Always bothered me for many years. There's no Sukkos Sheni. There's no Shavuos Sheni. Shabbos Sheni. Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. It always interested me, bothered me. How come one time that you get, as it were, a brand new second chance? It's true, other Yom Tovim have days of Tashlumim. We don't have a whole second chance all over again. Pesach Sheni. You know the answer is? Because they asked for it. We don't find that anybody asked for Sukkos Sheni. I don't know why, but I'm going to make an assumption. L'chayre, it's safe to presume that probably over the years of Klal Yisrael's sojourn in the Midbar, there were people who couldn't keep Sukkos either. They couldn't be Oyle Regel. I'm presuming. For whatever reason, we don't find that anybody approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said, could we please have Sukkos Sheni a month later in the month of Cheshvan? We don't find that they asked for that. I don't know why.
Not because of the Korban Pesach?
Could be there's something unique to the Korban Pesach. I don't know. Maybe that's an answer. Could be. But either way, you requested it. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see how important it is for you. That you're not looking to shirk out of your duties. So I'll give you the extra opportunity to make the mitzvah. You know where we find a similar principle? On Chanukah. What's the inyan of Chanukah? All the Mefarshim ask. They were looking for oil, they couldn't find. HaKadosh Baruch Hu produced a miracle, they found one, and it lit for 8 days. What does everybody ask? There is a halachic principle called Tuma Hutra Betzibur. When the entire Beis HaMikdash or Rav of Klal Yisrael have been defiled, then the halachas of Tuma are waived. So why on earth were they looking for pure oil in the first place? What was the necessity to have a miracle in the first place? I'll give you pure oil for 8 days. You don't need pure oil. Impure oil is absolutely fine under the circumstances. So you know what the Mefarshim explained? You're right. But Klal Yisrael were looking for pure oil. It's like they were looking for Pesach Sheni. Indeed, why were they looking? Under the circumstances, you're allowed to rely on Tomei oil. The answer is we're not looking for Pturim. We don't want to be second rate. If you're an Eved, then what do you say? Impure oil, if that's good under these conditions, then please leave me alone. Why should I bother myself looking for pure oil? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're looking for it. I'll go the extra mile, as it were, myself as well. Because you went for the extra mile, I'll go for the extra mile. And what will I do? I'll miraculously allow this oil to burn for 8 days. A miracle. That is, as it were, Kodesh Baruch Hu kavayochel going the extra mile. Why? Because Klal Yisrael went the extra mile. Just like you were not looking for exemptions when you asked for Pesach Sheni, so what does Kodesh Baruch Hu say? I'll bend all the rules and I'll give you Pesach Sheni. So it's over here as well. You didn't have to look for oil. Nobody would have punished them. Nobody would have penalized them. Under the circumstances, b'di'eved, you're allowed to rely on tomei oil. But they weren't looking for that. Because they didn't feel like avodim. They felt like bonim. And that's why on Chanukah, where else do we find the concept of mahadrin? Mahadrin, minha mahadrin. Where do we find such a concept? Nowhere. We do find there's a standard rule of hidur mitzvah, but not all different levels. And where do you find that all of Klal Yisrael do mahadrin, minha mahadrin? The answer is because the whole nes of Chanukah came about through people who wanted to be mahadir. It's true. If you want to light the Chanukah candles, the absolute minimum, what do you have to do? One candle per night. Doesn't matter if you have 7 billion people in your household. One candle. Ah, you want to go the extra mile? Mahadrin. You want to go the extra mile? Mahadrin, minna mahadrin. Do you know why? Because the entire nace of Chanukah took place with people who were also looking to go the extra mile. Had they not been, they would have been very happy with tomei oil. And the whole concept of Chanukah is all revolved around the union of Hidur. So it's a very different mindset. Are we looking for Pturim and exemptions? Are we doing the absolute minimal of Avodas Hashem? Or are we trying to push ourselves to do more? Very often the Yetzer Hara says to us, you know, what you're doing is fine. Certainly if you look around, that's what most people are doing. Could do extra. Why do you have to be extra? It's Sasha Tzadik, you're Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you have to. Yes. I'm trying to push for more. I'm trying to do the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not happy with the level I'm up to now. Even though it could be, halachically, what you're doing is the bare minimum and that would suffice. But I'm not looking for the bare minimum. I'm trying to go the extra mile. That's Pesach Sheni. I'm not looking to shirk out of duties. I'm looking to shirk in them. That's what it means. Oisin Ritzoyin Oishal Mokim. Not just doing the mitzvahs of Hashem, but rather the rotzen of Hashem. Okay, let's go.
Livnim Mishur Sadin in the world of Toysvis and the Maharsha would be the Tzadik and Gemur, right?
Could be. Even though technically speaking, I'm not sure, because if the Torah says you've got to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu on three levels, then I'm not sure if that's called Lifnim Mishur HaSadin anymore. That's not extra. That's minimal.
Yeah,
but that's okay. That's not quite enough. It's not that you're going extra, you're just doing the minimum. Okay, back into the Gemara. Have you got the Gemara? It says, Omale Rava Lerabonon. Yeah, you have that Gemara? First word on the line is Yishmael. Omale Rava Lerabona. B'matusa minaychu. B'yemi Nisan or B'yemi Tishri. What does that mean, B'matusa minaychu? How did you translate those words?
I ask you.
If I can ask of you, B'yemi Nisan or B'yemi Tishri. In Nisan and Tishri, what's unique about those days? So Rashi says, B'yomi Nisan is Yimei HaKotzir. That's the time of harvesting the produce. B'yomi Tishri, that's Drichos HaGasos V'Habadim. That's when you crush the oil and the wine to make the grapes in order to get shemen, to be able to get yain. So twice a year, he said, I want to request of you, please, Loi tischazu kamoi. Please do not appear in front of me. Why not? Ki heichi, so that deloi titradu, so that you should not be torud, you shouldn't be anxious, b'mezunaychu, with your food, with regard to your sustenance, kulei shata, the whole year. What was he saying? Rav Rom, how do you understand this line of Gemara? What was he requesting of them? please don't turn up, don't be seen twice a year when I'm busy in the field. Why not?
Work for 2 months and then you learn for 10 months.
So what did he mean? So that you shouldn't be torried about your food. What do you mean? Why therefore should you not be?
If you end up working at those particular times, and you have the whole other time, the rest of the year, to sustain yourself. So then by sustaining yourself, you'll be able to learn Torah.
So what was he saying? Do not appear in front of me. What do you mean?
Work.
No,
don't come to the basement.
No, don't come to the basement.
And learn during those times. These are the times you should be working.
Don't come to me. He was the rebel.
Right.
He was telling his Talmidim twice a year, take off, because that way you'll ensure yourself you have serenity the whole year, you have peace of mind the whole year.
Right.
Now, it's a little bit interesting, and obviously this is why this Gemara is brought in this place. Because Lachaira doesn't quite fit in with the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Which is perhaps not such a surprise, because the Gemara did tell us in the previous line that many tried like Rav Shimon ben Yochai and it didn't work. Many tried like Rabbi Shmuel and it did work. In other words, they found that they did have to work. To an extent, some more, some less. So it sounds like that's why the Gemara brought this story. Don't come to me in the base of Medrash. Don't turn up. If you learn all the time, you won't have Parnassus. So rather, in those times of the year, you're going to have to take off time. Obviously, they learnt every single day. There's no question about it. But not full time during those months of the year, such that you will not have any Parnassus problems for the rest of the year. That's what he was telling me.
It's very strange that it would be Nisan and Tishrei. But Tishrei is full of Yanta.
Yeah.
And Nisan is a pre-Pesach.
That's a good point. Good point. Okay, let's just make a start to the next Gemara. Oma Rabba Babar Chano, Oma Rabbi Yechno, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Barabbi Eloi. What did Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi say? Bo Ure'e, come and see. Whenever we say the word see, what does the word see mean?
Come and learn.
Contemplate. Which parasha in the Torah is that evident?
This one.
Parshas Re'eh. What does it mean, Re'eh Onoichi? See, what do you see? Well, really, where must I look? And the truth is, even in English we say this. Imagine you are struggling on a piece of Gemara and somebody explains it to you, say, oh, I see. What do you mean you see? Were your eyes closed before? See means I understand. So whenever we say Bo Ure'e, it doesn't mean look. It doesn't mean take out a telescope and go examining. It means Bo Ure'e, contemplate. Bo Ure'e Sheloi K'doirois Harishoinim Doirois Ha'achreinim. Unlike the early generations were the later generations, bless you.
Thank you. Amen.
In other words, there was a very clear distinction, and it's worth contemplating it, says Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, the difference in the early generations as opposed to the later ones. We have a concept of Yeridas HaDoiris. What is it? Doiris HaRishonim. This is an absolutely life-saving piece of Gemara. Osu Toiroson Keva. They made their Torah fixed, permanent. Umalachton Arai. And their Malacha was Arai. Zu Vazu Niskaimo Beyodon. So both remained in their hands. In other words, they had a sense of focus in the world. I think everything we mentioned on the Thursday night Parsha Shir is what this Gemara is referring to. What is Arai and what is Keva? What's important in life and what's not important? Somebody told me they saw on a car sticker and a bumper sticker. I've mentioned this also in the Parsha Shir. The most important thing is that the most important thing should be the most important thing. As opposed to some people who make the most important thing out of something which is very unimportant. So the Doiris HaRishonim, they knew what was important. They made their Torah Keva, Umalachton Arai, and they ended up being successful in both. as opposed to Deiris of Achrayim, Shasu Melachton Keva. They made their work the be all and end all. They made that the focus of their life. And the Torah, Torah San Arai. So what happened? Zu Vazu, Loi Niskaima Biyodom. Well, then they failed on both counts. This, of course, by the way, reflects the very famous Gemara that everybody knows, where the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that after 120, what are we going to be asked? Kovato itim la Torah. It does not say lomadato Torah. Did you learn? Doesn't say that. What does it say?
Did you fix
a time for learning? Keva, that's exactly what our Gemara is saying. Keva. Keva has nothing necessarily to do with the amount of Torah learning. Rather, it's talking about the centrality and the permanence of Torah learning. That's an altogether different question. If you drill a nail into the wall, it might just be a very small speck on the wall, but it's kavua. It's not moving anywhere. It's rigid. It can't be removed. That's what keva means. So too, when you talk about people who are, they make their Torah keva, it's not necessarily talking about how much they are learning. Rather, talking about the permanence of it. As far as I'm concerned, it's permanent, and the reason is because it's so important. If it takes absolute center stage in my life, then it's something that cannot be negotiated. There's no such thing as having a day without learning. En kaze davar, no such thing. It could well be, and many, many people, and in fact, most people, are in fact working more than they are learning. But that doesn't tell me anything about which one is keva and which one is arai. And again, to the contrary, you could in theory have somebody who's learning more than he's working, and yet his work is keva. It's a question of focus and importance and permanence. That which is of prime importance is keva. Non-negotiable, it's unmovable, it's permanent. If that is your focus in life, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine, so I'll give you both. I'll give you learning and I'll give you melacha. But if your malacha is keva, your Torah is of secondary importance, I'm saying you'll fail in both. That's really what we discussed on the Thursday night parasha share. That is the entire concept of the mitzvah of yovel. When the Torah says yovel, just remember what's important in life. Everything over here is temporary. Even wheeling and dealing in fields and houses and avodim, in the end it all goes back anyway. It's all temporary. Everything is temporary. As the Chofetz Chaim told his visitor, I'm also a visitor. Just a brief visit to this world, 100 years or so, and then I'm back home.
Closed door.
And then?
It's a praise door.
So this world is a praise door. I'm just in the corridor. Why would you want to furnish the corridor with your expensive furniture? Furnish the palace, that's more important. It's easy to say. Not so easy to put in practice, but it's something that definitely needs a chizuk. But that's what this Gemara is teaching us. The Torah has to be keva. Everything else that goes around it is of secondary importance and is arai. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will continue on Tuesday.
Amen.